Okay, this week's parsha contains what seems to be agreed as the mitzvah of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Although there's a little bit to discuss about that, as we'll note in a second, but the pasuk v'yasu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, as the Menachos Chinuch notes, in mitzvah tzadi hei, this mitzvah is not just about the Mishkan, as was the context at that time, but all of the edifices that we have had that have housed the korbanos are included in this directive. So that's a little bit needing of explanation, because they didn't look the same, they didn't have the same details. Even between the first and second Beis HaMikdashes, they had differences. So the idea that one pasuk could contain all of them, that sounds a little bit surprising, as the Ramban points out. So others respond, like the Re'aim and the Arachayim, that we have an idea that everything in these buildings had to be done by the instruction of the Navi, in the case of the Mishkan, the instruction of the Torah. So that's what we say, So therefore, the nature of the mitzvah is, in every door, when there was such a structure, that it should be built based on the instruction of the Torah or the Navi. The Kiryas Sefer, the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, understands, based on Yerushalmi, that the Asiya has to be Lishma, and that's one of the major details that also comes from this notion of Asuli Mikdash. And the Smag has a little bit of a different source, so that's where there's a little bit to discuss. The Smag in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira is quoted by the Kesef Mishnah over there, that refers to the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, V'makom asher yivcha Hashem Elokeichem l'shaken shmei sham, l'shichna sidrashu v'asa shama. So what's with that? That seems to be a different opinion. So the Kesef Mishnah assumes that maybe he sees this as only referring to the Mishkan, the pasuk in this week's parsha, and therefore for the Beis HaMikdash, we indeed need another pasuk. However, it's not really clear that it's really one or the other, because the Smag elsewhere brings both Pesukim, and also the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim brings the other pasuk, as the Lech Mishnah refers to. So the Briska Rav and others explain that could be there's really two aspects of the mitzvah. There is the notion of finding the right place, that's the Shichna Sidrashu, and there also is the obligation of the Binyan itself, and that's what's derived from the Asul Mikdash. So we find that there are some limitations that the Gemaras tell us in different places as to the timing for the building. So the Gemara Masechet Shavuos notes from the language of Biyom Hikamas HaMishkan that Ein Bonin Beis HaMikdash Belaila, the Binyan could only take place during the day. And the Gemara Masechet Yevamos and Avav Mer Aleph tells us from the Pasuk Es Shabbos Hay Tishmaru Ves Mikdash Hay Tiro that Shabbos comes first, so you shouldn't think that the Binyan Beis HaMikdash can take place on Shabbos or Yontif. So we have those two limitations, that there is the Binyan Beis HaMikdash only takes place during the daytime and not on Shabbos or Yontif. And that is interesting because it seems to contradict a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, or at least the way it emerges from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that there on Daf Lamed, the Gemara tells us about the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that Yom Henef Kulo Asur. What does that mean? That the second day of Pesach, which is known as Yom Henef, is the day when the Korban HaOmer was brought, and Chodesh became Mutter. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that day, Yom Henef, should be all Asur and Chodesh. Chodesh should only be permissible the next day. And that was because there was a concern that maybe we would forget what's going on, because without a Beis HaMikdash, so we can have Chodesh right away on the second day of Pesach, because without a Korban, so it becomes Mutter just with the beginning of the day. But if there was a Beis HaMikdash, so then the rules would change, and we'd have to wait for the Korban first. So apparently there was a concern that we would not realize that things have changed, and in order to prevent that from happening, so the Heter Chodesh was only for the next day, Yom Hedef Kolo Asur. So the Gemara asks, that it's a little bit of a far-off concern. For a lot of reasons, it's a far-off concern. But even if we assume that this will take place within a certain constricted time frame, so there should be enough time to find out before this is relevant that things have changed. You get the updates from the Times of Israel on the constant app notifications, so you'll find out that things have changed. It's not going to be a secret. So the Gemara has these scenarios where maybe it happened very close to the time, so you wouldn't necessarily know. So either it happened on the first day of Pesach, right before, or it happened at nighttime, right before. So both of those seem to contradict our rules. If it can't be built on Yontif, and it can't be built at night, so these two options both seem to contradict these rules. So this is something that Rishonim talk about, and a number of Rishonim, such as Rashi and Sukkah and Daf Mem Aleph and others, have as an approach that the difference is we're talking about the third Beis Hamikdash. And the third Beis Hamikdash, so we have a tradition that's actually going to come down from Shamayim and be built essentially by Hashem, Veni Asa Livnos Beish. And therefore, apparently, this is not going to be subject to these restrictions. Apparently, that's acceptable as long as it's not us building it at night or on Shabbos. So that's the whole discussion, if that's really the case, that this is what we expect to happen with the third Beis Hamikdash. So some note that maybe then it's surprising that the Rambam counts this Binyan Beis Hamikdash as a mitzvah, because then it sounds like we're never going to actually have this mitzvah again, because the third Beis Hamikdash that we're waiting still to build, if it's going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu building it directly, so then that's not a job for us. So then what is the nature of the mitzvah? So some suggest that there's some kind of a joint process that is going to come down and we're going to put up the structure, we're going to put up the gates. So there are various ways to address that. But the implication of saying that if it was built by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then we don't have this issue of building at night or building on Yontif, and it could show up at those times and we might be taken by surprise. So what that indicates is that it's not a puzzle Beis HaMikdash, that if the Beis HaMikdash would indeed be built at night or on Shabbos, so it's not disqualified, it's just a prohibition on us, but it doesn't inherently disqualify the Beis HaMikdash. This is something that was discussed by the Minchas Chinuch and also by the Mikdash David, Rav David Rappaport, in his Sefer on Kachim and Taras, that you see from here that this is a isser on us, but not an actual disqualification. So that might be helpful to answering a question that a number of Achronim raised, that the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, so he records these limitations, writes right there in the very beginning, that Barak Aleph, that Ein Bonin as Hamikdash Balayla, Shanamar V'yom Hikimus HaMishkan, and also we can't do it on Shabbos Yontif. But in the middle of saying both those things, so he writes that Hakol Chayavim Livnos, everyone is obligated to build and to be a part of this whole process, Anoshim V'Noshim. So if he's going to say that men and women are both obligated in the same breath, so perhaps there's a little bit of a question here, because we know that women are pater from mitzvah sasei shahazman grama. And it seems that would be the category here, because the paradigmatic mitzvah sasei shahazman grama is the mitzvah of tefillin. And tefillin is limited, as Gemara discusses Masachas Kedushin, and the definition of mitzvah sasei shahazman grama that tefillin fits is that we don't wear tefillin at night or on Shabbos Yontif. So if that makes something into a mitzvah sasei shahazman grama, so then the same concept should apply to the Beis HaMikdash also. It should also be considered a mitzvah sasei shahazman grama. And why should the Rambam say that women are obligated the same way men are? So that's a question that a number of Sfarim bring up. It's interesting, they all kind of do it independently of each other. They all note, hey, I noticed something here, the Rambam seems to contain this contradiction. So there are many different approaches. And as an example, of many approaches. If you look in the Shuvas Minchas Elazar and Chelik Beis and Simon Mem Zayin, he himself has four answers. And among the answers, he writes, is, first of all, the idea of mitzvah, probably is the most fundamental answer as far as defining mitzvah seisha as man grama, is there's a very significant difference between this limitation as applied to tefillin and the limitation as would be applied to binyan beis hamikdash. In the case of tefillin, so because it's only during the daytime, so today was Tuesday, so I had a mitzvah to put on tefillin in the morning, and if nighttime comes and the day is over, so I've missed that mitzvah. It's done. And tomorrow morning, on Wednesday, so there's going to be another opportunity, but that's a separate mitzvah. So the mitzvah of tefillin for today is completely bounded within the daytime hours. When it comes to the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash, so that's all one mitzvah. And if we stop at night, or if we stop on Yom Tov and Shabbos, so that's essentially a break, but it doesn't mean that the mitzvah is bounded to that time. It just means it's not being practiced at those times when we don't do it. So perhaps the proper comparison, these words now have extra sensitivity in the context of the war, but let's say when you have a tape recorder and you have a difference between the stop button and the pause button. So is the mitzvah stopped by the limitation, or is it just paused and then it's going to resume afterwards? So that would seem to be a very significant difference. And that itself probably could answer the question as far as how to differentiate between tefillin being a mitzvah seisha as man grama and binyan beis hamikdash not being. He has a number of other answers, we said. So another answer he has is that it could be that the exemption of mitzvah seisha as man grama doesn't apply to kachim. And that's because the Gemara in the middle of Zvachim tells us that there are different klolim in terms of how halacha is derived in kachim, and sometimes a rule that applies to the rest of the Torah doesn't apply the same way in kachim, and vice versa. So the fact that there's a ptur of mitzvah seisha as man grama in general, maybe that's not the same rule when it comes to kachim. Now, even if you want to say that, you then have to figure out, is the Beis HaMikdash called kachim? That's itself a discussion. It could be that only the Karbanos are called kachim, and the Beis HaMikdash is a different category. So it's a double question here. Is the Beis HaMikdash called kachim, and does kachim have a rule of an exemption of mitzvah seisha as man grama? But if so, that could also be an approach. Another approach he mentions is one that also is pretty fundamental as far as how we relate to mitzvah seisha as man grama. And that is, sometimes we have a starting point that a mitzvah is in that category, but we have some kind of an indication from a pasuk that that's not how it's treated l'maisa. So to give two very familiar examples, when it comes to Kiddush, so Kiddush should be a mitzvah seisha as man grama as far as its details, but the Gemara tells us in Brachos that women are equally obligated min ha-Torah in Kiddush as men are. It's because there is a hekesh from the pasuk, Zachar and Shamar, Kol Sheyeshno Bishmir, Yeshno Bezchira. Whoever is obligated to not do Malacha on Shabbos is also obligated in Zechiras HaShabbos. So the relationship between the two is a reason to not apply the exemption of Mitzvah Seisha as Man Grama. Or another example would be Matzah. Matzah would also fall into that category by its nature. But because we have a very similar drasha, that kol sheyeshno b'altochel chametz, yeshno b'achilas matzah, whoever is subject to the prohibition of eating chametz is also obligated to eat matzah, so that overrides it. So l'maisa, we assume women are equally obligated in both matzah and kiddush because of these overriding indications from the pasuk. So there are those who then suggest that this may be the case here as well, because the pasuk tells us that regarding the Mishkan, v'kol isha chachmas lev yadea tavu, that all the women were involved in, or the women who were capable of this were involved in working on the Mishkan. So perhaps that is a gilui, that is a indication that we don't apply the exemption of mitzvah seisha as man grama. So there's a little bit of discussion. The Shuvas Beis Yitzchak talks about whether that was meant to indicate that women are obligated or just that they were involved by their own choice. But that's itself a little bit of a discussion. But it is conceivable to say that if we have this pasuk that there is a overriding factor, then we wouldn't apply the klalim of mitzvah seishazman grama. There are a number of other suggestions in various forum to address this. Some suggest that the mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash isn't really applicable all the time in the active sense, but there is a possibility of fixing whatever might be broken at different times, and therefore that takes it out of the category of the concept of mitzvah say shazman grama. And there are other approaches as well. But one of the approaches that the Minchas Elazar mentions together with his four is that when we say women are obligated, we don't mean that in the same way as we mean the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash in the primary sense. And the truth is, the Rambam's language a little bit sounds like this also. What we mean is that the larger project women are obligated in, that the actual hammer and nail construction, so that was limited to the daytime and not Shabbos Yontif. But there are aspects of the binyan that are around the clock and that are on Shabbos also, such as the fundraising. The rabbi will give a drasha on Shabbos telling everyone we have to be aware of this project of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So all of that is happening around the clock. And that's what we mean, that women are obligated in those parts too. They'll be on the committees and they'll be setting up the project. And all of that is applicable to them, and all of that is not subject to a restriction of mitzvah say shazman grama. And therefore, the concepts fit together. So that is a very compelling approach, as the Rambam's language already indicates a little bit. And that would fit into perhaps a broader question. So there is a suffix that some have. There's a tshuva about this in Rev Lau Sr., Rachel Meir Lau, in his tshuva Siachal Yisrael, has a tshuva about this, where he notes that the question could be asked, the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, how do we look at that? Is that a mitzvah that is on every individual, and they all do it together? And it's a little bit, sounds like that maybe in the Rambam's language in Hilchos Beis Bechira. Or is this really a mitzvah that's on the tzibur as a whole? And that's what it sounds like from the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. And that could have other implications, and we see other indications in the Meforshim. So, for example, the Chassam Sofer, in his commentary on the Torah, so on the pasuk that says that Bezalel was given the task of making the Mishkan, so he writes there that it was betorah shlichus, meaning that really it's everybody's responsibility, and they performed it through Bezalel's efforts. And that's also what it sounds like from the Orach Chaim in Parshas Bekudei, commenting on the language of the pasuk there, v'yasu b'nei Yisrael, that they all did it in the mechanism of shlichus by having the people who are actually building it, doing it on their behalf. On the other hand, the Sfarno interprets that same pasuk differently, and he understands it to mean that they all gave their money towards it, therefore they all did it. So those two different interpretations seem to work two different ways. We're saying that it's a personal mitzvah that everyone has to do, and if they're not doing it themselves, it's because of shlichus. Or are we saying that they all do it as a communal effort? So when we say they all did it, it means that they all raise money for it. And as he noted, so this could have nafkaminas. For example, what about ketanim? So are ketanim obligated? So if it's a personal obligation, so then ketanim don't have mitzvos personally. But if it's a mitzvah that the whole tzibur is doing together, so then that would perhaps include them, even though they don't have a personal chiyuv. And the question of whether ketanim are obligated, so that also then goes to how to interpret a gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yutas and Beis, that there the gemara says that Ein Levatlan Tinoka Shel Beis Rabban Afu LeBinyan Beis HaMikdash, that we're not going to interrupt their learning even for this Heilige Mitzvah. So what do we mean by that? So if they're not obligated in the first place, so then presumably we're talking about their melamdim, that we're not going to be mevatel the melamdim for this. But if there is a notion of everyone in the whole community being involved, so theoretically it could have involved the ketanim also, so that's where we have this chiddush, that we wouldn't take them away from their learning, even for what they otherwise would have a role in. And then that goes back talking about the teachers, so it has a nafkamina also for the relationship to Talmud Torah, because when it comes to Talmud Torah, so we normally assume that someone who is Osek B'Torah is not pater from other mitzvos, unless it is a mitzvah she'ef shalasas de'acherim, it's a mitzvah that somebody else can do, so then if you're learning, you're pater. But if it's their personal chiyuv, so then you are obligated even if you're in the middle of learning. So the question of whether Binyan Beis HaMikdash is basically a chiyuv on everyone that we're all doing together, or is it a chiyuv on the tzibur as a whole? So then in the second case, it might be Efshar L'Asos L'Acherim, and it wouldn't be an exemption for those who are learning. And that's also a part of that same Gemara, trying to understand what its implications are. So all of this plugs back into the initial question of Mitzvah Seisha Azman Grama, that if you were to say that it's a personal chiyuv, so then that would be subject to the rules of Mitzvah Seisha Azman Grama, and women should indeed be pater. But if we're going to say that it's a chiyuv on the tzibur, so then it may not necessarily have these personal exemptions, just like we're not going to exempt ketanim necessarily, and that could include women as well, and that could be what we're getting at here. So that itself, the question of whether it's on the tzibur or on every individual, that could be totally on another question, and could be connected to an issue which we may find different indications in the Rishonim, and the question of how do we look at the mitzvah conceptually. Is the mitzvah of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash an inherently valuable thing? Is it a mitzvah in of itself? Or do we really see this as kind of a hechsher mitzvah? So even though it's phrased as a mitzvah here, but it's essentially as a means to another end. So here you find different implications than Rishonim. Tosfos and Masech HaShabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph and Beis, it sounds like it is the inherent mitzvah in itself that we're looking for. It's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. And Tosfos and Yevamos and Avav Mer Aleph, there it sounds differently. It sounds like they understand it as a hechsher mitzvah, that it's something that's done for another purpose. And there's a parallel here. This assumption that there is a similar concept and a similar discussion to be had regarding building shuls. So the question of building shuls, there is a extensive discussion whether that's seen as a mitzvah inherently or more of a means to an end. It comes up in Hilchos Shabbos because there is a discussion of whether it's proper to use Amir Lakum in order to build a shul on Shabbos. There are other reasons maybe not to do that, but whether theoretically, at least Al Pi Din, do we consider it to be a mitzvah in of itself, or more of a hechsher for what will be done with it. So that seems to parallel the same question when it comes to the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Do we see that as a inherent mitzvah that's done for its own purpose, or do we see that as a hechsher essentially for the karbanos? So the Chazon Nachum has a tshuva about this. That was the Shabiner Rav's brother, Nachum Wiedenfeld, and thought that this also connects to the question of whether it's considered to be a mitzvah of the Rabbim or not. That if it's a there as a means to an end, so then it's really something that Tzibur needs, like a mikveh or a school. It's basically just there to serve a function. While if it's something that has an inherent value as far as its construction, so then we could understand it more as a mitzvah on every individual. And the Chazon Nachum notes that this could also affect other questions. So, for example, the discussion in the Gemara about when Tisha B'Av should be. So we observe Tisha B'Av on the 9th of Av, but there was also an opinion that really it should be on the 10th of Av, because Rubo Shel Heichal Nisraf, because most of the destruction happened on the 10th. So that could also be connected to the question of whether it is a function of the Korbanos, the Beis HaMikdash is there in order to facilitate the Korbanos, or whether it's inherently valuable. So if it's something that has its inherent value separate from the Korbanos, then we could say that we understand the position of focusing on the 10th of Av, because most of the destruction of this inherently valuable binyan happened on the 10th. But if its main function was to facilitate the Korbanos, so then as soon as it was breached, so then already the disaster happened. And what happens afterwards, as we find the language there, by a sarif, that it was already a burnt building and it just went through the motions of the rest of it burning. But uvov afritzim v'chalu, it already lost its status from the initial breach. So that's perhaps relevant here also, especially since we conclude with the view that we should observe Tisha B'Av on the 9th of Av. So that may be an indication that we are going off that opinion that sees it as more of a hechsher for what was done there for the Korbanos. So other achronim note that this may actually be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, because they debate the question of whether the kelim should also be included in the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash. So the Rambam does include the kelim as a part of the same mitzvah, but the Ramban has it as a separate mitzvah. Remember, I asked Rav Shechter once many years ago about the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol only worked one day a year. So what would happen if the Kohen Gadol would die on the day after Yom Kippur? Is there any rush to get a new one? Or can you just wait till the next Yom Kippur? So there is a korban, the korban Minchas Chavitin, that was brought from the Kohen Gadol, but if there's no Kohen Gadol, that could be brought from other mamonos. So Lamaisa, if you don't have a Kohen Gadol between the two Yom Kippurs, is there any rush to get a new one? And the Rosh Hashanah responded, based on this psak of the Rambam, that you see that the mitzvah, the binyan beis hamikdash, according to him, is not just the binyan itself, but it's everything that's a part of the whole system is all included in that mitzvah. So he thought that meant also it was including making the appointment of a Kohen Gadol. But the Ramban sees differently, and the Ramban says that the kelim are a separate mitzvah, and there's just a mitzvah by itself to build the beis hamikdash. So some explain that it seems to be that what's going on here is that the Rambam understands that the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to facilitate the Korbanos. So therefore, the mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash is not just on the binyan itself, but it's on everything that's a part of it. So the kelim are also included in that. So what about the Ramban's view? So why does the Ramban say differently? So the fact that he isolates a mitzvah for the kelim and sees the binyan as its own mitzvah even without that, so that seems to be consistent with what he writes in his commentary to Chumash in this week's parsha, because there he understands that v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham tells us that there is a mitzvah to have a home for the Shechina, and that that's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. So that would be more consistent with the idea that it has a purpose in and of itself, and that it's separate from the Korbanos, and maybe we could understand more why you might say there's a mitzvah specifically on the binyan. But the Rambam, by contrast, if the Rambam understands it as it's there for the Korbanos, so then that would fit with all the other parts, that if it's really there for the Korbanos, so then really it's a means to an end. So that means it's really more of a hechsher mitzvah kind of thing. If it's more of a hechsher mitzvah, like the Chazon Nochum said, so then that makes more sense to say that it's a mitzvah on the Am as a whole, on the whole nation. And if that's the case, so then we could see it as apart from the system of personal chiyuvim, where mitzvah saseh shazman grama would be an exemption, and we would understand why the Rambam writes that he does, that this mitzvah applies to everyone, and to the women as well. The Bercha Shimon, Rebbe Shimon Schneerson, has a comment more al Piderach Hadrush, where he notes that the idea of creating a home for the Shechina, which the Ramban emphasized, but the Pasuk tells us as well, so the Shechina always requires the collaboration, the efforts of men and women together, so therefore, I'll be Derech Hadrush a little bit, that could also help us to understand why there is a specific emphasis that this is true as an obligation on all of Klal Yisrael, and in particular the partnership between men and women. So just as one quick footnote here, so one might question what we said, that say that this is the Rambam's view to facilitate karbanos, because the Gemara says in a few places that the shamati shemakriven afal pishein bayis, that they heard that it's possible to bring karbanos even without the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why there was a whole movement 150 years ago or so to try to bring the Karban Pesach even without the Beis HaMikdash, because theoretically the Binyan HaBayis is not Ma'akev. A lot of other details that were Ma'akev, so that was why, among other reasons, why the proposal wasn't accepted. Other reasons too, but that was one of them. But the absence of the Beis HaMikdash wasn't necessarily an impediment. So one could ask, then, if it's the case that you can bring Korbanos even without a bias, so does that then contradict this approach to say that the Rambam's view is that the Beis HaMikdash is for the sake of the Korbanos? So presumably not, because it would seem to parallel what we find when it comes to Beis HaKnesses and the idea that there is a similar mitzvah there. So we know that the purpose of the Binyan Beis HaKnesses is to facilitate tefillah, and yet we also know that tefillah can happen without a shul. So it would seem to parallel that in both cases it's possible on some level to accomplish this goal without this bias, yet it's still true that the purpose of the relevant bias is to facilitate and to enhance that process. So that could still be the view of the Rambam, and that could explain then why he considers this to be a communal need, which devolves upon the whole tzibur and the women included. So here, we're not in a state right now where we have the mitzvah of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash actively incumbent on upon us right now, but that's a reflection of the whole state of Galus. So one could also suggest that just like we see from this chiyuv that includes women as well, that the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not only the actual hammer and nail construction, not actual hammer and nail, but just to use a metaphor, is not just the actual physical construction, but it's everything that leads up to that and facilitates that and puts that together. So ending the galus through recognizing how we have to be and how we have to treat each other can also be seen as a chelek of the mitzvah of the Binyan HaBayis. So at this time, when we feel our distance, we feel our galus so powerfully, it creates a even stronger motivation to rectify the situation of galus and of being distant from the Shechina, and everything that we do to try to correct our perspectives and try to correct our attitudes towards each other, the Sinas Chinam that puts us in galus, and we seek to undo that. That is not only a goal in of itself, but that is a chelek of the commandment in this week's parsha of Yasu LeMikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, and through a greater sense of focus on this and awareness of this, we should indeed soon be zocheh to reverse the galus and to bring complete shalom and unity to Klal Yisrael in every sense of the word. So we'll close there. Again, stay tuned. We'll figure out exactly how we'll handle things next week. But one way or another, Be'ez Hashem, we will communicate. And God willing, should be only good things.